Good morning, everyone. It's so great to have you here, whether you're here in person or visiting us online from home. It's going to be such a great morning. My name is Monica Matheny. I am the Connections Director here, and wanted to tell you about a quick website. It's mylccinfo.com. If you are watching from home.
Mylcc.info.
Oh my goodness, I mess it up every time, Brett. This is what, I wrote it down.
I got your back. I got your back.
Mylcc.info. You know what, now you're going to remember it that much more. And if you go to the top of that website and you click the button that says Newish, it lets us communicate with you. And if you've been here for a long time, still a great site to tell you what's going on around here. But in case you miss it, I'm going to tell you all the things. First of all, right after the service, we have a greet and meet. Can go onto that welcome sign and just come casually say hello to folks. We also are going to connect this Friday night for the Christmas Eve service, 6 o'clock. Can't wait to celebrate together as a church family. Then 2 days later, December 26th, we can't wait to celebrate with you, but not in the building. We're going to be all online that morning. It's going to be a good morning. Then the next Sunday, I know this is a lot of information, getting all your holiday details. The next Sunday, we're going to kick off the new year with a breakfast. You can sign up for that. I like to call it a no-shame potluck, so would love for you to sign up, bring food. But if you don't get to it, there's a lovely thing called a Kroger's right next door. Just come, and if you don't get to that, still come, okay? So love to see you for the breakfast. And then finally, you might notice more kids in here today as they wander in. They're going to be joining us for worship, and it's going to be great to hear them sing with us. So let's all stand together. We're going to stand and worship.
God, we thank you in this moment that no matter what our circumstances are, that you are with us. We love you, and we praise you this morning. Amen. Amen. All right, I just want to acknowledge our elementary kids in the room and just say thank you for joining us in worship. Did somebody say you're welcome? I appreciate that. Awesome. But elementary kids, it is time to go to Kids Life. So you can stand up, my elementary friends. Elementary kids, stand up. Look at my friends. We've got JR over here. We've got Emma. We've got Maddie. They are going to escort you to Kids Life. It is time for you to head out. Elementary kids, I'm talking to you, not the other elementary kids. All right, make your way on out. Hold on just 1 second, keep going. Good job, you guys are doing great. All right, I'm done.
Good morning. My name's Don Selby. For those of you who don't know me, this is my beautiful wife, Krista. And we just want to pray for the message today. Please bow your heads. Lord, thank you for this season and what it represents. Help us to celebrate it no matter what the trials and tribulations we might be facing are. Help us to remember that your gift to us is eternal and everlasting. And let's pray for Tom as he gives us the message today. Help us prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for being here. This is our last Sunday together in the building, and thanks to those, and welcome to those online with us as well. I want to take just like 30 seconds to have you turn to someone near you, okay, and finish this sentence, okay? Finish the sentence. It's not Christmas without what, okay? So it's not Christmas without. Take just like a few seconds, share with those around you. It's not Christmas without this. Okay, who was here with, like, family, but your family member said something and you were like, what? We never do that. Anybody? All right. How many of you, though, like, things like it's not Christmas without the gifts? If there's young folks, when I was a kid, right, even to some degree, right, it's still, there's still something about the gifts that communicate it's Christmas. without you know, like, also then maybe not just receiving the gifts, but giving the gifts. Like, that's a highlight for my wife. She loves to give gifts at Christmas. What about, you know, singing loud for all the world to hear? Like, anybody? Like, the music, just the feeling, the sounds of Christmas, did that come up? The food, the meals? You have a special meal at Christmas that got mentioned? Family? Is that one? Like, it's, you know, it's just not Christmas without family. For some of us, or some of you particularly, maybe it's not Christmas without the movies, right? Without those movies. You know I'm looking at you, okay? Because I honestly didn't intend to go this way until I was looking for some just stuff on, like, how do people answer this question about what is Christmas and what's the spirit of Christmas? And I came across this gem, this 2015 gem, the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. Maybe Christmas isn't Christmas until you've been able to watch all your movies. I don't know if you've seen this one or not. Some of you are nodding at me. I just want to read the synopsis of this movie, The Spirit of Christmas. It says that Kate, I've not seen this. I'm working off IMDb here. Kate, a workaholic lawyer, has 3 weeks to get a haunted bed and breakfast appraised and sold. If you're in at that point. Sorry. The uncooperative manager claims a spirit who lives there will not approve. With Kate's possible promotion resting on accomplishing this task, she checks in and haggles with the aforementioned Christmas spirit, who suspiciously seems awfully solid for a ghost. I promise that's not a euphemism. I think it's rated very PG. The spirit of Christmas, okay? The spirit of Christmas. We get told this time of year that we're supposed to feel any number of things, right? We're supposed to feel certain things. And there's the stock answers, right? Like, we're supposed to feel joy. We're supposed to feel that the peace on earth, right? Maybe just a general sense of warmth that we feel. And of course, there's nothing wrong with those things. In fact, like, the scriptures invite us into joy and into peace. There's nothing wrong with them, and the feelings are good, but it's where those feelings are generated from that we want to talk about. That we want to talk about today. And I want to ask you, and we'll put on the screen, but if you have a Bible, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. It's a little different spot maybe for a Christmas message, but we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians 2 is a passage of scripture that is widely discussed and debated in the church. It's probably as much has been written on Philippians chapter 2 in the last 100 years in theology as just about any other passage of scripture. And it gets at certain debates that take place in theology, some of the discussions and debates that we have with one another at the theological level. And this one invites us into a debate it's sort of the debate between a couple Latin ideas that come from Latin words is Christus Victor versus Christus Exemplar, okay? And we kind of get invited into these debates when we look at these things. But these two big ideas that ask sort of the question of, like, what was the purpose that Jesus fulfilled? Like, what was the Jesus story, the Jesus mission all about? And the Christus Victor argument says that Jesus, the answer to the question, it's what and why answers. It's what Jesus came to do and why he did it, okay? And the Christus Exemplar argument is an argument for how Jesus did what he did. One is that Christ is the victor, that he won victory over sin, over death. And Christus Exemplar is Christ as example, that he came to give us an example of how to live. And these are debates that rage and honestly sometimes even split theologians apart or churches apart. I'm glad to say that's not something around here. And I would say one reason why is because, of course, the answer is it's both, right? Christ came to claim victory over sin and death. But Christ also came as an example to us, to show us how to live. And so when we think about Christmas, and we think about even the spirit of Christmas, there's a verse here in Philippians that comes to mind, and it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And it says this. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It says, have this mind. Different. This idea of this, the mind gets translated different ways. In some translations, it says your attitude should be like this. The word that it comes from is actually a word that sort of means like the spirit of what you're doing. It's like the idea, you know, we have culturally, we have this painting that we're familiar with called The Spirit of 76, right? It's the painting, I think, of like of Washington crossing the river, and there's all the people behind him and a ragged flag. And it's an image, but it tells us, it gives us an idea, right? Well, the fascinating thing here is that this thing we're getting here is that the mind among yourselves, this attitude among yourselves, it's kind of like that same word of spirit in some ways, that it's like this, it's an idea that's encapsulated in a person, okay? So when you should have these ideas about Christ. You should have this idea that exists when you think of Jesus. And it says it's yours. Like this idea, it belongs to you. It's possessive there, which is fascinating, right? This idea of who Jesus is, it belongs to those who follow him. This passage that we're about to read the rest of in Philippians chapter 2, this passage, it's widely believed that it either was a hymn of the earliest Christian, that it's a song that they sang, or that Paul, when he writes to the church in Philippi, is saying, like, remember the song, sort of? Or that Paul, in his writing, he wrote it and it became a song of the early church. That it's written in sort of first century Greek poetry. Okay? And so it says but it begins with this idea: have this mind among yourselves. Have it. Like hang on to it. What is the spirit of Jesus? What is the spirit of him and his mission? Like why did he come? What was it about? Okay, so that's Philippians 2:5. Keep reading with me. Verse 6, it says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So while he was in the form of God, and again, some of the translation on this is fascinating because you look at different translations, they say it in different ways. Okay, some translations say that even though he was in his very nature God, okay, that Jesus and God are this inseparable reality. That to say Jesus is to say God. They're synonymous with one another. That Jesus existed as God. And it says, have this mind among yourselves, just like Jesus, that even though he was God, it says he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped or to held onto tightly. Now this is what a crazy idea, right? Have you ever had something that was like once true about you and just isn't anymore? And it's hard to stop defining yourself that way? Like I used to be an athlete. Like I did. I couldn't run from here to the front door without passing out now. Okay? And there are times where I go, like, in my head, the memory is there. I know how to do that. And then, like 7 seconds in, my body says, oh, you can remember it in your head all you want. Okay? But there's no going back, friend. Okay? Well, there's this interesting thing, right? Like, once you've had something, once something's been yours and it's now gone, some of us, like, we can reminisce about like that job or that time of life, and sometimes we get lost in the nostalgia of those years when everything was so great and perfect, and I just want to get back there. And right, well, in a similar way to that, this Jesus is being contrasted in our head, in our mind, to say like, here's the thing, Jesus was God, like it wasn't out of his mind. That he hadn't forgotten it and then been forced to live as a human. He was God. It was true of him. And yet, he didn't go about his life straining for that to be something that, like, was his equality with God was something that he was straining to hang on to. He didn't live in a certain way that made it look that he was just constantly trying to get something. trying to be something, trying to attain something. It's a fascinating statement, right? Because we tend to say, like, hey, if it's true of me and or if I deserve it, then doggone it, it better happen for me, right? Like, I need to make it happen for me. I need people to recognize it, what I've accomplished, or what's true about me, or the way that I should be honored or respected. But Jesus didn't make equality this thing in his life that he was striving after, Paul writes here. While his life and his teaching reveal that he is God in the flesh, proving it wasn't his main goal or desire. He does it. It happens by the by. But it wasn't where he was pointed or aimed. And when we think about Christmas this year, when we think about like what we learn from Jesus, when we think about not just the victory that Christ provides us, but also the example that he gives us. One of the first things that I think we see in Jesus, is this idea that we say that he would not, that I'm going to fight for what I deserve. When we think about like the spirit of Christmas, we think about the spirit that's embedded in Jesus, and I think about the way that I direct my life, I see a huge difference between Jesus and me. Because I say, I'm going to fight for what I deserve. I've earned it. Doggone it. I've been doing this too long. I'm too competent. I've been too loyal. I'm too whatever to be treated this way. How dare you? At any point in time, Jesus could have pounded his fist and said, I'm God. Get out of my way. I have everything. Like, he could have said, I can just wipe you out of my way. But Jesus didn't take that posture. So when we think about what is this whole Christmas thing initiating us into, we're introduced to a Jesus who says, I'm not here to get what I deserve. I'm not here to get mine. How much energy do we give to fighting for recognition or the pay we deserve, or maybe the love and attention that we deserve from others? But to follow Jesus, we have to divorce ourselves from that impulse to chase something because we deserve it. It's one of the first things we find out about him when we look at who he is. Keep reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. So it says, while he was God, he wasn't striving after being equal with God, but instead, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And then here's maybe our Christmas verse here, right? Being born in the likeness of men. Right? This whole section, this whole passage in Philippians 2 is sometimes called the kenosis. It's from the Greek word keno, which is the word for empty. Okay, and it appears there at the beginning of verse 7. But he emptied himself. He willingly like took everything that he was and emptied it so that he could take on the form of a servant. He could be born as a person, as a human. He took on the likeness of men. He didn't cease to be God. He was God in his very nature. We already read that. He was God. But he made a willing choice to take on flesh. And not just to take on flesh and then live in the life of luxury. But it says he took on the form of a servant to meet the needs of others. He positioned himself below others. And this is what it means to be like him. If we want to talk about the spirit of Christmas and get away from some of the commercial ideas, get away from some of the cultural mythology that we bring to it, and get it back to the heart of why God chose to take on flesh, we get back to this idea that Jesus emptied himself. In contrast, we tend to say, I'm going to focus on how I can fill myself up, how I can have more in life, how I can get, how things can focus on me in ways that I'm not serving others, but rather I'm the one being served. That tends to be our orientation, and perhaps part of the typical Christmas message is this idea that we give. Like, it's a season of giving. It's a season of thinking about others. But do we isolate it to just this month? Do we isolate it to just this time of year? Because the mission of Jesus in providing not just victory for us, but an example for us, isn't contained to just these weeks around this time where we celebrate his coming into the world. The whole Jesus mission, the whole purpose was for him to set aside what he could have for himself, to empty himself of it, and to take on a new form where he put himself beneath those around them, to serve them. And so much of what we're told today, there's sort of this like knife's edge, but so much of what we're told today is to fill ourselves up, to focus on ourselves, to take care. There's a whole closet industry of self-care. And I want to be careful, because we're not talking about the extremes of self-denial that do harm to people, right? But I would say, at a point in our cultural narrative where we focus so much on the self, how is that working out for us? But all of our focus on self, and make sure you take care of yourself and put your needs first, make sure that you're taken care of so that, you know, then you can worry about taking care of others. And yet, in the midst of all that, our rates of depression are higher. Like, we're not happier. We're not better off for all of that focus. And this tends to be this time of the year, this where we focus on others, and at the same time, it's so jarring given how we live our lives the rest of the year. And it can be, we just heard about, life isn't always easy. That last song that we heard was a testimony to that. And it can be so tempting to say, I just have to focus on me. But I can tell you this, when we begin to make ourselves the focus of our life, we're no longer following the example of Jesus. Jesus emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. The message of Christmas, it's these amazing things with Jesus where he was born a king, but he was born into a setting where being a king first meant he was going to serve. It first meant he was going to serve. He took on flesh. Keep reading verse 8. And it says this, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he's all that is God is in Jesus. It's all there. From the moment of his birth through all of his life, he is God, found in appearance as a human. He's also a real person, a human. He took on flesh. And for him to take on flesh, it goes beyond just being a person. Because look at what it says about him. He humbled himself and became obedient. For Jesus to be human, it meant these two big things, humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. Because could you imagine walking around and being God? And yet not lording that over anyone that you meet. The level of humility that we see in the example of Jesus. And also, again, being having all the capacity necessary to make my life comfortable, to make my life smooth. And he was obedient to the end. You see, Jesus took what we're reading about here as far as it can possibly be taken. From the moment of his birth, he entered into a chain of events that would culminate for him as a person giving up his life. The ultimate sacrifice. And I just don't see that in me. I'm back to this idea of, if I'm going to put myself first. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm going to do what I want. Oh, there might be glimpses here and there where I've done something nice for someone else, or you could look at the exception that proves the rule. But if I'm looking at Jesus as the example, I have a hard time seeing that example consistently in me. But this is the spirit of who Jesus is. This is what he came into the world to be and to do. Again, we're back to this idea of what we deserve or what we think we've earned. But let's be plain, Jesus' example, it leaves us no room for the pursuit of these things. If we're to follow Jesus, if we're to as Paul writes here, have this mind about you, Jesus is your example, we have to set aside the me first of our lives. That's what Jesus did at his core. So Paul goes on and says this, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So who is Jesus? What is the Christmas story, right? Well, this is the truth. It's the Christmas story is, yes, a child, this child born in the manger, but that manger begins a chain of events, a string of events that includes the cross and the empty tomb, the birth of the church, and ultimately us, we're here today because Jesus chose to put on flesh, emptying himself, coming to be with us. And so the story of Christmas is the story of Christmas and Easter. Jesus came into the world to serve. And because of that, therefore, because of that, because he lived it, he did it, the chain of events was decided and he walked through it. Therefore, God has exalted him. You see, we can't separate the victory of Jesus from the example of Jesus. We can't separate who Jesus, what Jesus did and why he did it from how he lived and the way he lived it. We find those two things together here when Paul tells us this is what it means to have the spirit of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, having this attitude like Jesus. In verse 10, that at his name, knees will bow, every knee. Christmas is a fascinating time, right? One of the things that I had an opportunity to look at this week was sort of, and I didn't go looking for it, it sort of found me. But it's like how to celebrate, it was instructions for how to celebrate Christmas if you don't believe in Jesus, right? It went so far as to say, like this author went so far as to say, it's probably immoral, but let's do it anyway because it's a lot of fun and those Christians seem to be on to having a good time. Okay, that was kind of like, you know, a 15-second summary of the atheist argument for celebrating Christmas. But this is fascinating to me, right? That even at a time of year, like people who will otherwise make no recognition of God, no recognition of Christ, will sing songs of praise to Jesus because it's just sort of part of the holiday season. It's just sort of part of what we do. And I realize, of course, that there's all kinds of secular Christmas carols as well. I get that. But we also, like, the name of Jesus is like near to everybody's tongue this time of year. It's a time where this sort of gets lived out, right? Where even people against their will, even people who would say, this is against my code of ethics, will actually sing a song of praise to Jesus. And we can say it, right? Because he did this, because Jesus is who he is, fully God in the flesh, lived the way that he lived. Therefore, God's lifted him up, and we say he is Lord, right? The point of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, is to bring us into a relationship with our Savior through Jesus, to recognize him and call him Lord to the glory of God. So have this mind among you this Christmas. Take on this attitude. This is the spirit of Christmas, that Christ has come. He's come. And it's so tempting to keep him there in that manger. It's so tempting to keep him as a child that's dependent upon us, or dependent upon other people, dependent upon us for his vitality. But the fact of the matter is that Christmas is the beginning of the Jesus story. And we celebrate it because it is a miracle that God came and dwelt among us. And it begins the reality that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And that at the end of this earthly time with us, as he's leaving, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm here. Jesus came. And we recognize it this Christmas. We recognize it in this season. But we're invited into it. We're invited to have the same mind as Jesus, not just to keep him there dependent upon us where we can control him, but to allow that manger to resonate out across a life of humble service, to resonate out, to not think about ourselves first, but to put others ahead of ourselves. We serve a Savior who came and dwelt among us. Pray with me. Lord, we stop this morning and we thank you for the gift of Christmas. And Jesus, you came to be with us and lived in service to those around you, and ultimately with your life and your sacrifice, you still serve us today. And we thank you. God, I confess that I like the distraction. I like the lights and the music and the shows and all the stuff that comes along. And yet I confess that those things keep me from pausing to reflect and to see all that you've done. And so we just, we pray this morning and ask, Lord, would you be real to us? Would you make it so that this Christmas season we see you for who you are and what you've done for us, what it meant that you came to be with us, to live among us, and the promise that you are still with us. And God, we thank you, and we pray all of this, Jesus, because of what you've done, and thanking you for who you are. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, it is great being with you all this morning. You guys can stay standing for just a second. We've got a few things we want to tell you about, some things that are happening around here. First off, as soon as you guys leave, we are having a greet and meet right out in the lobby. When you guys walk out, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to greet you. Sorry, I had to say it. And we'd love to get to know you just a little bit. Along with that, we want to remind you that our Christmas Eve... do you know the announcement, Siri? Do you want to help me? Oh, no, she doesn't want to help. She's like, I'm backing out. Sorry, I don't know how I did that. Christmas Eve, December 24th is here. Oh, my goodness. I can't recover from that. Christmas Eve service, December 24th. We would love to see you here at 6 p.m. that night for our candlelight service. It's going to be amazing. The next Sunday after that, December 26th, please do not come here. Nobody will be here. We are having our service online only, so watch from the comfort of your homes. And also, lastly, we want to tell you about our January 2nd breakfast. Like Monica said, it's a shameless potluck. Come here, eat. It's going to be great. Siri and I will see you for our Christmas Eve service. Have a great rest of your Sunday.